circumstances were closest to those of 1866 through 1868 and 1931 through 1932. The first of those showers produced 5,000 meteors an hour, and the second just 200 an hour. The International Meteor Organization predicts that this year's shower will peak between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. on November the 17th. The best place to watch will be the Far East, which will be in darkness. In Britain, the radiant, the point in the sky from which the shooting star appears to be coming, will not be above the horizon until 11 p.m. Anyway, that's kind of an interesting little story. That's coming up, I guess, next week. But it'll be kind of interesting to monitor whether or not any satellites get taken out. Of course, you know, if your pager quits working or television quits working, just think your satellite got sandblasted. Okay, let's proceed. Our telephone number here is 303-860-1280, and we're going to introduce my guest now. He's done research for many, many years, and he has amassed, as I mentioned earlier, he's amassed a vast amount of data, knowledge, and experience when it comes to investigation of UFOs, and he's also the co-author of a book that came out a couple of years ago called Unmasking the Enemy, and it was kind of a compilation of the data that him and Nelson Pacheco had compiled. And here to talk with us this morning is Tommy Blannon. Good morning, Tommy. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Let's start off by kind of give me an idea of what kind of a background you have. How many years have you been doing this?
Well, about 30 years, a little over 30 years now.
Yeah.
And, of course, I've participated with a number of the UFO groups over the years, like NICAP, MUFON, International UFO Bureau, which I was the deputy director of at one point in time,
mm-hmm.
In Oklahoma City. And then also I worked with J. Allen Hynek for about 17 years.
J. Allen Hynek, of course, is one of the more well-known UFO researcher people, if you will. And wasn't he the founder of the Center for UFO Studies in Illinois?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, after all of these years of doing this, this investigation, this research and stuff, what have you come down to as far as possible conclusions? Are we being visited by extraterrestrials?
Well, that's a matter of semantics there.
Okay.
You can say that, for instance, these meteors are extraterrestrials also. From a scientific standpoint, basically, I can honestly say that I have never found anything in my analyses of physical evidence associated with UFO reports that would in any way suggest an extraterrestrial origin other than meteoric material. All of the physical artifacts allegedly attributed to the UFOs that I came into contact with in my field investigations had natural explanations.
Natural explanations?
Right.
Okay.
And this is the problem. There's been lots of disinformation, incredible amount of disinformation over the years. And if you've read a number of the other books, like some of the books by Vallée and so forth, you see that, there's a lot of hoaxes and disinformation and so forth. And plus when I was also the director of the Texas Scientific Research Center for UFO Studies, which was associated with J. Allen's group, we went out to various places basically took various types of samples from those areas that where some type of UFO had allegedly been observed to come into contact with the immediate environment. We took these samples, vegetation samples, soil samples, things of this nature, and had a number of analyses run, both qualitative and quantitative, and then we also had other labs do analyses for us so we could get a comparative analysis on the data itself.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of doing this, we run across other groups that basically had various members that were, I guess you might say, high school teenagers, those interested individuals, you know, that didn't have any scientific training, and they would come into the area and sometimes basically destroy evidence because they didn't know what they were looking for and they were not familiar with the scientific methodology.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is probably one of the biggest downfalls of all of the groups that are out there doing this research.
Right. You know, that's what's happened over the years. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of opinions, things of this nature. And you have, for instance, you have certain events that take place and they get basically distorted. Rumors develop around them, things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of information basically may reveal certain things that seem to be scientific, but until you have a massive amount of information on any one particular case and also verification by other people, which sometimes means the duplication of effort, then and only then can you come to any scientific conclusion.
And of course, as you mentioned before, just a few minutes ago, you found no scientific evidence that... When you say you found no scientific evidence of what was it, I don't remember.
Okay, I basically stated that in the analyses that I have conducted...
That you've conducted, okay.
Right, and with the other individuals that was working with me,
mm-hmm.
And also using and looking at the comparative analyses of other labs and other people involved, because I was associated with a lot of other of scientists in different parts of the world as well, as Jay Allen, but in looking at the reports and things of this nature, there was nothing that was basically analyzed that would in any way indicate that it was an extraterrestrial origin other than what I stated, meteoric material. I mean, we had, you know, there were things that have been found from time to time, such as meteoric material, you know, then there's other cases when you have slag that's found, you know, everything from iron nails to horseshoes and
mm-hmm.
like the Aurora incident, for instance, which I investigated also, and a lot of things that, you know, swelled up over that particular case. I mean, it got blown out of proportion big time to the point of trying to exhume one of the graves in the cemetery there, but...
Was that the Aurora, Texas case where back in the 1800s, supposedly?
Right.
A UFO crash with a body?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And anyway, a lot of things, like I said, got blown out of proportion. And you have people that will quickly come to various conclusions based upon very little information. And then it's sometimes highly sensationalized and then released to the press. Or written up in a magazine or whatever, and then it becomes an absolute truth.
Sounds like a talk show west of here.
What?
Sounds like a talk show west of here. We've been rapping about that here lately, about you know, getting sensational and putting stuff on before it's checked out. Tommy,
well, that's another thing, too. I mean, I'm very reluctant to get involved with any particular type of a radio talk show or anything like that, especially if you have people that is claiming to be time travelers and Antichrist and everything.
You got it. Tommy, hold that thought. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll pick up on this interesting discussion. Tommy Bland is my guest. 303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. If you want to know anything at all about UFO research, this man has the corner on the market, if you will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
Van Smack is in the jungle on 1280 Ralph.
In a lot of ways, Mike would probably say, man, that was a hard experience, but it was a good experience. The guy went down to New York, and he's putting up numbers in a pennant stretch. And if you can do that, there's nothing you can't do. I mean, I will say that about New York. It's a hard town, and when you win, the fans are great, and when you don't, they're brutal. But that kind of goes back to the old saying, and it's trite, but it's true. If you can thrive and succeed there, you can anywhere. It's a hard town.
Real Sports Talk with Jim Rome and the Jungle. Middays from 10 to 2.
On Denver's Talk Alternative.
1280 Ralph.
Join us this week as On the Edge gets hypothetically erotic.
We're talking to Bobby Rock, author of the new book, Hypothetical Erotica.
Look at these phones light up. Look at this. Every one of them lit up.
It happens every time. I'm telling you.
You never know just what might happen when you are on the edge.
Boy, it's just not natural for a woman to do that kind of thing.
Whoa. Get this guy off the air before every woman in earshot comes looking for us.
On the Edge.
This Tuesday from 8 to 8:30 on Denver's Talk Alternative, 1280 Ralph.
Hi, welcome to Emily Seafood. My name is Eric, and I'll be back.
We started out a pretty small business, but it sure wasn't small to us. We needed help, financial help, and that's just what we got from the people at American Express.
Small business owners now have a resource to turn to, American Express Small Business Services.
We got equipment financing for bigger stoves and faster computers, a line of credit without a hassle, and the buying power of the corporate card. And we were approved in less than 48 hours.
We've been helping small businesses for more than a decade, and we can help yours. Just call 1-800-616-2398 and take your business to a new level of success.
It's like my father says, you can do anything you set your mind to, but you can't do it alone. He's right.
If you're an established business of a year or more and would like to speak with a consultant from American Express Small Business Services about your financing options, call us at 1-800-616-2398.
1280 Ralph.
Navigating the turbulent investment markets have become more difficult than ever. To help guide you through the financial uncertainty and work towards clear sailing is Steve Peterson at Kirkpatrick Pettis. With over 15 years of investment experience, Steve Peterson has helped many clients with investment planning based on an unwavering commitment to servicing you, the client. Steve Peterson will help you identify your investment goals and build a strategy designed to fit your individual short-term and long-term investment objectives. As a full-service investment professional, Steve Peterson is experienced in mutual funds, annuities, IRAs, retirement plans, and much more. Call Steve Peterson today for professional investment services, backed by the firm of Kirkpatrick Pettis, celebrating over 70 years of investment excellence.
Call 303-858-7201, 303-858-7201, or toll free 1-888-530-7297.
Steve Peterson at Kirkpatrick Pettis, servicing you and your investments. Kirkpatrick Pettis, a Mutual of Omaha company, member SIPC.
Aetna U.S. Healthcare member Patricia McNally.
Up until about 1986, all of my medical problems were very ordinary, like everyone else's. And then I began a progressive degeneration of bone problems. They recommended a place in Maryland basically for pain management.
Through our National Medical Excellence Program, our members like Patricia have access to the country's finest medical centers when the treatment they need is not available locally.
The clinical director said to me, I think that the head of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital may be able to help you. I got to see him, and I basically feel that I've been given years of my life back that I don't think I would have had I not had the self-care that I did.
We're Aetna U.S. Healthcare, and we're raising the quality of healthcare in America.
We've got a shelf life longer than Twinkies. 1280 Ralph.
As we continue, 12:24 in the morning, and my guest is Tommy Bland, and as you've heard, he's an investigator who has been involved in the field for 30 some odd years and has done quite a bit. And welcome back, Tommy. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Now let's talk about this because I want to. One of the things I myself have been I've been doing research for about 10 years. And one of the things that I've always been really critical about has been you know, the level or the competency of the research that goes on. And not only that, more importantly, what appears to be, you know, if you take this phenomena and you can break it down into several different components, like, you know, cattle mutilations, you know, actual sightings, the hard science part, and then, of course, you start getting into the esoteric and the sociological, psychological, if you will, angle of the people that actually make up some of the people that make up the research field, and you start to see what emerges starts to look like a religion.
Exactly.
Have you seen that as well?
Yes, there is definitely a group mythology involved here.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, there's all kind of religious connotations associated with this subject, you know, and you've got many different types of individuals involved. A lot of people, basically, when they have an unusual experience, it depends upon, overall, it depends upon their entire psyche, so to speak, their educational background, their beliefs, all these things tie in into a particular event. And so whatever story they may come up with, it's more than likely sometimes colored by the information, for instance, that, you know, with their background and their training and their, like, so forth. And you have all this stuff that comes forth and colors that information. And therefore, they, in other words, if they see something, it depends upon, again, it depends upon their perception, their observation of things like this, and their entire beliefs. And a lot of times there's a religious connotation associated with these particular events like this. In other words, if you have someone that's very religious, which I have investigated a number of people like that before, they think that, you know, these are angels and things like this, or some divine being that has basically came down to give them a message that they feel like, and there's an obsession that develops that they feel like that they must spread to the entire world, even if it means leaving their job, leaving their family, you know, just going off the deep end, so to speak.
What is it about this subject? What is it about this this phenomena that invokes or evokes that type of a strong sense in people? Is it the mystical part of it, or is it something else? Is there something else at work here?
I think that it's a combination of many different factors.
Is it a part of the phenomena, do you think?
It's a possibility. I would not, you know...
Rule that out.
Mm-hmm. And here again, it's... But if you take things, you know, it's like trying to say that all cars are, you know, Fords, you know, or,
right.
You know, all vehicles are cars, you know, that kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true, because the phenomenon itself has many, many different categories. You've got to go in and investigate a case. You've got to break it down. You've got to interview the witnesses and so forth, find out where they're coming from, find out if there's anything that may be disturbing them, I mean, from a psychological standpoint. I mean, so you have to have many different scientific disciplines applied in different cases,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending upon what the event is.
Right.
And in turning and breaking this thing down, then you can put it, once you gather a certain amount of data, then you can place it in a particular category and say, okay, this goes over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, for instance, like in the earlier years, you know, you had a lot of people that claimed to be in contact with the brothers from space, and of course, there's now a resurgence of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the early conventions and so forth, giant rock conventions, and where people got up on the mountains and so forth, and
right.
You know, just. Claimed that they were fixing to be contacted by the brothers from space, and they were given all kinds of, apparently these people claimed that they were called contactees, and now they're called channelers. it's just a change of, like, again, it's a change of...
It's a change of label.
Right, a label, a change. And but these people claim to have been given some type of secrets of the universe, and here they are tinkering with little devices and so forth that they claim is perpetual motion machines and things of this nature that really is nonsense
mm-hmm.
when you really look at it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But to these people, it becomes an obsession, and they really truly believe what they feel like they have received.
Now, the investigator, you know, i.e. someone like yourself or anyone else out there who's doing legitimate research into this thing, it's important then to look at as carefully at your witness as you look at the phenomena itself, right?
That's very true.
Because from what you're saying, there's essentially there could be psychological factors involved that might affect or otherwise color the experience, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
That's very true. Well, and not only that, there are some that that are out there that has ulterior motives.
Mm.
You know, I mean, just like
charlatans,
con artists, and things like this,
yeah.
You know, and charlatans and so forth. But then there, you know, there are those that, like I said, has ulterior motives. They're using the UFO phenomenon for their own particular motives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is where your cults come in and things of this nature, and your various types of subversive groups, which the government in the earlier years, you know, in the late 50s and 60s, they were very concerned about some of these UFO groups because they felt like some of these groups, there may be some type of national security problem there
mm-hmm.
With because there was a lot more things going on. And I believe that if anyone's looked at some of the FBI files and so forth that's been declassified, you'll see that there was a lot of con artists. There was a lot of people that was foreign individuals that was also involved in some of the early UFO activity here in the United States. And you'll see that some of them were also basically criminals, you know, that
mm-hmm.
were smuggling various types of artifacts from other countries. And some of them, like I said, were con artists that was going around holding these conferences and conventions to rake in enough money, you know, to
right.
Leave that city and go to somewhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these things, you know, a lot of these things are in some of the declassified FBI files. And I'm sure that as time progresses, when more and more information is released, you know, we'll begin to see, you know, more and more of this, too. And this is a concern of mine, too, over the years. I become very, very disillusioned and frustrated with some of the things that I was coming across, specifically when you have so much disinformation and you have a lot of hoaxes and things of this nature. And you wonder sometimes just exactly, you know, is this some kind of grand conspiracy? I mean, you know. But I don't think it's a conspiracy more so than I think it's a number of people just basically jumping on the bandwagon and doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that there are those groups here again, and just like the Heaven's Gate cult and some of the other groups out here that have developed a particular religion around the UFO phenomenon. They, you know, here again, they're using this for their own particular motives. As time progresses, you begin to see, you can see how these people attract a lot of people, but as time always seems to take care of a lot of things. And as time goes by, you begin to see that a lot of these people become disillusioned with their leader. A lot of people come to a realization that they have been brainwashed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they basically leave those groups sometimes at the right time.
Before it's too late.
Before it's too late, right.
Okay, Tommy, hold that. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back to that, too. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the, you know, this is a very interesting thing, because we're going to talk about some of the psychological warfare aspects of this and how it could be used to affect the way that people think, which is something you see going on today in a big way. 303-860-1280. Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
What do the sport of golf, that party favorite, the limbo, and U.S. Bank Home Equity have in common? Excellent question, although to me the answer seems obvious. Allow me to explain. First, there's golf. Little tiny ball. 18 holes of helpless frustration. Good, you're with me. You see, in golf, the winner is the one with the lowest score. Not the highest, the lowest. Okay, now the limbo. How low can you go? That sort of thing. And who wins at the limbo? I sent a theme here. The person who goes the lowest. And now U.S. Bank Home Equity. Because when it comes to low monthly payments, it's hard to find anyone lower than U.S. Bank. That's the key. Lower. All you do is get a U.S. Bank Home Equity loan to meet your financial needs. Plus, there are no fees or closing costs. Even the interest may be tax deductible. So to sum up, golf, limbo, and U.S. Bank. They're all really very similar. But of course, it's so obvious now.
To apply, stop by any U.S. Bank or call 1-800-U.S.-LOANS. U.S. Bank. Your needs, our tools.
Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. Consult your tax advisor regarding deductibility of interest. Some restrictions apply.
1280 Ralph.
When you're out on the job or just having fun, you need tires you can't count on. Whether in a car or in a truck, let us help you at Discount. Award-winning service with brand variety. Ask anyone and they'll tell you all day. Discount.
When it comes to quality tires and wheels at low prices, Discount Tire Company truly is the one. So when you're ready to get serious, let BF Goodrich Radial and All-Terrain TA Tires be the choice for your new car or truck. Discount Tire Company and BF Goodrich, working together to bring you the quality products you can depend on and service ranked number one. So remember,
Discount Tire, Tire's the one.
It used to be that only a select few jewelers had relationships all over the world to bring in the best diamonds at the lowest price. Well, our industry has changed. Some may even say it's been turned upside down. Hi, this is Charlene with Brendan Jewelers, urging you to visit one of our six locations to see what's happening at Brendan Jewelers. We've recently formed a relationship with one of the top diamond producers in the world. That means a lot to us at Brendan Jewelers, but what does it mean to you? It means that Brendan's now has more world-class diamonds at the best prices you may have ever seen. It also means that everyone in Colorado's jewelry business is just a little nervous because they know at Brendan Jewelers will guarantee our diamonds and your lowest price. So come in and see our new collection of brilliant diamonds. Just look for the Trusted Brendan's logo and tell them Charlene sent you.
Brendan Jewelers, a better diamond guaranteed a better price. Located in South Glen Mall, Villa Italia, Westminster Mall, Buckingham Square, Southwest Plaza, and Chapel Hills Mall in Colorado Springs.
1280 Ralph.
To prove for yourself the medallion is the finest photo finishing your money can buy, we'd like you to take this little test. It's free. First, select one of your favorite prints and the negative that goes with it from the packet you just had processed at some other place. Be careful now, because the chances are those negatives won't be in protective sleeves like medallion, and your prints won't be packed in a rigid portfolio to keep them from getting damaged like medallion. But whatever condition they're in, bring them to Waxman's and let our medallion people finish you a free reprint. We'll print it on Kodak Royal paper to give it the whitest whites, and we'll personally inspect it thoroughly for the reddest reds and the bluest blues. When you get your free medallion print back, hold it up next to the one you got from that other place. The proof will be right in your hands. You'll be looking at the finest photo finishing your money can buy. And we'd like to take a good look at your next roll of film, because nobody puts on the finishing touches like medallion. Only at Robert Waxman.
Well, your memories come first to make them last.
Cooler than cruising on Federal. 1280 Ralph.
303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. Returning is my guest, Tommy Bland, and Tommy is an investigator who's been doing this business for 30 years, and one of the things that I want to talk about here during this segment is the way the phenomena has seemed to evolve from the old days, if you will, where it seemed like we were more interested in the hardware, the nuts and bolts aspect of it, and in the last 20, 25, 30 years, it seems like it's turned into, as Tommy has mentioned, a myth, it's turned into mythological proportions. And Tommy, you have any comment on that? Why is this happening?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, why it's happening. I mean, other than, you know, I mean, if you look at, if you are of a, I guess you might say, if you have any type of religious beliefs, you can look at it from a point of view that there may be some type of, here again, there may be some type of non-human intelligences that exist out there in the universe that has been, you know, intervening in the affairs of mankind over the years and is responsible for the world's religions, even, you know, the Bible and many other different religions.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you call these, you know, non-human intelligences demons, angels, or whatever, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, you know, if you look at it from that standpoint, there's a possibility that there may be some type of influence that we haven't really pinpointed yet. I mean, there's a lot of questions, you know, about the human mind, consciousness, and the soul and things of this nature, you know, questions that have been with humankind since, you know, the very beginning.
Right.
And here again, you know, these are mystical things, you know. And so, but it's hard to basically try to, first of all, I would prefer to do the scientific research and as science progresses and we obtain more and more types of equipment to monitor the various things, to detect different things, then and only then, I mean, you know, can we get a firm hold on something? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you sit back and you just chant and get some type of what you feel, inspiration, and a lot of nonsense and a lot of other things comes into your mind, you'll be sitting there from you know, from now till doomsday, so to speak. You're not being productive.
Right.
You're not being creative. And as you know, I mean, everything we have around us was created by scientific methodology. I mean, we have things, you know, that we use from day to day. We have various types of, you know, medicines, medical equipment, you know, our space program, everything. So, I mean, if you completely try, and here again, I'm not saying that, I think at some point in time there may be where science and religion comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there really is a conflict between religion and science, in my own way of looking at it. I don't think there's a conflict there. I just think there's a misunderstanding because we don't have enough knowledge.
Right.
But to be productive, to be creative, and to progress as a civilized structure, you have to have that technology. But at the same time, you also have to have some type of spiritual foundation, too, as well. Because, you know, as well as I do, the rules of convention are any type of even a primitive society must have some type of religious beliefs.
Well, I agree.
And ethical and moral and so forth that gives that basic foundation for that technological society to develop.
I don't think we can even talk about And in other words, I don't think the discussion, an intelligent discussion, can be had when you're talking about cosmology. You're talking about, you know, where we come from even. You have to go into some aspects of religion because
right.
you start asking questions about who are we and where do we come from.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But you can go overboard too.
Sure.
You know? And I think this is where a lot of people are going, and they're going overboard, and there's a self deception there. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people are becoming deceived about a lot of different things, and sometimes a lot of these people wake up and realize that wait a minute, you know, I have been deceived here.
Yeah.
You know? And they realize this. It's like the people that get involved with various types of groups and cults and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they wake up, you know, and find out that hey, wait a minute, you know, this is not right.
Or if you were one of the 39 people in San Diego in the Heaven's Gate cult, they woke up realizing that hey, we did the wrong thing.
Right, and you know, these are some of the things that Nelson and I pointed out in our book.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, some of the things we pointed out in our book are now becoming national headlines.
For example?
Well, I mean, you know, for instance, like the Heaven Gates cult, we had them in our book
mm-hmm.
before they committed suicide. You know, their activities were being basically monitored, over a period of years because they were one group of many,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, as anyone that's involved in the field, if they're going to do any type of serious research, they must look around them and find out who's doing what
mm-hmm.
and who is saying what and how much of that is the truth.
Well,
how much of it is, you know, mere disinformation or, you know, deception or whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, when you talk about truth, okay, that's a very interesting word because I think today, and this is something that really, this speaks even beyond UFOs and the paranormal. The truth seems to be, the bastard child, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and lies and deception and, just the shallow way of thinking seems to carry the day anymore. And you know, I don't think it's any surprise when you look around us, when we look around us at, you know, the society and the way things are going, it's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes, it is.
And I think that, you know, the thing is that we now hold up ugliness as, what is good, and we condemn beauty as ugliness. And everything's kind of like inverted and turned upside down. And
right.
you see this, and this kind of goes back to what I want to talk about on this psychological angle to this whole thing, is that some of these people that are carrying the day in the UFO phenomena, or in that research or writing, you know, the writers and authors and people like that, I'm seeing something that's very disturbing, and that is, as we've talked about before, we see people putting out this material, regardless of whether it's true or not,
right.
And then we see people grasping this as if it is truth, or holding it out as truth. And running with it, and when you try to talk to them about the what's real about this or what we do know, what the data supports, you're considered an idiot.
Sure, I mean that's one of the reasons why I and a few others become very disillusioned with the UFO field.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we just stepped out of it. We wouldn't have anything to do with it. We had seen too much. We saw all of the activities within the different groups.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that mentality that was developing. We saw the disinformation continually coming forth. We saw where there was very little scientific data, and even when there was some data, sometimes it was being suppressed by the very groups that said that they were standing for the truth.
Exactly.
Here they are, jumping on the bandwagon, beating their drums, and criticizing the United States government when they themselves, in turn, is much more deceptive.
I wrote an article several years ago. We're going to take a break, but I wrote an article several years ago about this very thing. Do the question, I believe, I can't remember exactly the way I framed it, but the question was, do we need the government to disinform us, or are we disinforming ourselves? And I think the question is answered.
Right.
In what you just said. We're going to take a break. Stay tuned. 303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. Join in the conversation here with us. Tommy Bland is my guest, and we're talking about UFO research, the state of affairs, if you will, today, and find out how we could maybe put this thing back on track, if it's possible. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Bill Cosby. Do you know what a valet does with your car when you hand him the keys? I know what you feel he's doing because you can see him drive away. But really, what he's doing, once you can't see him, he's doing 230 miles per hour in second gear. And the radio's turned up so loud, you got a traveling boombox. You can hear all 12 years of rubber burning. See, when you get your car back from this dude, it's 230 miles back in second gear. He's driven, and the car looks like and feels like you went 900 miles. This is why I park at Harvey's Hotel Casino in Central City, the only casino in Central City, Blackhawk, with 530 free covered self-parking slots. Me parking my car at Harvey's Hotel Casino in Central City.
1280 Ralph.
When you're on the job or just having fun, you need tires you can't get along. Whether in a car or in a truck, let us help you at Discount. Award-winning service with brand variety. Ask anyone and they'll tell you all day. Discount Tires. Tires the one. Discount Tires.
When it comes to quality tires and wheels at low prices, Discount Tire Company truly is the one. So when you're ready to get serious, let BF Goodrich Radio and All-Terrain TA Tires be the choice for your new car or truck. Discount Tire Company and BF Goodrich, working together to bring you the quality products you can depend on and service ranked number one. So remember,
Discount Tire, Tire's the one. Discount Tire, Tire.
When we were in California, we saw the vineyards.
Oh, the Napa Valley.
No, we've been there.
Many times.
No, as you can see from this slide, we were on the coast north of Santa Barbara.
Oh, look at that.
You probably know this, Don, but because of the coastal climate,
oh, yes,
this area produces some of California's finest Chardonnays.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Here are some of Beringer's vineyards.
Uh-huh.
Kendall Jackson's.
Yeah.
Corbett Canyon.
Canyon. Wait a minute. Could you give me that?
This slides at the winery in the Edna Valley.
Oh, what an interesting old building.
Yeah, it's the winery where we picked up this Chardonnay.
Unusual bottle.
Square on the bottom and round on the top.
Huh. It's the Santa Barbara County Reserve Chardonnay from Corbett Canyon. Canyon.
It's a magnificent Chardonnay. Crisp. Buttery.
All their reserve Chardonnays are barrel aged.
Yeah. What did you say that name was again?
Corbett Canyon.
Canyon. That's what I thought you said.
Good taste echoes from the canyon. Corbett Canyon.
Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
1280 Ralph.
Ski in, ski out from Beaver Run Resort via the Beaver Run Super Chair, located at the base of Peak 9. Just feet from your accommodations for an early season rate starting at just $64 per night. Take advantage of your buddy pass or the great lift ticket prices and super early season conditions. Beaver Run Resort offers the best choice in accommodations in Breckenridge. Luxurious but affordable accommodations, ranging from hotel rooms to deluxe suites with private spa tubs to four-bedroom suites with fireplaces and balconies. Enjoy the ski-in, ski-out convenience from the resort, as well as the shops, indoor-outdoor pools, indoor miniature golf, seven hot tubs, restaurants, nightclubs, ski rental, and more, all under one roof and just a short walk from downtown historic Breckenridge. So what are you waiting for? Book your early season ski vacation in Breckenridge today. Also ask about other ski and family packages. Call 800-525-2253 to make your reservation or for more information. That's 800-525-2253 at Beaver Run Resort in Breckenridge, Colorado. Limited package availability and some restrictions apply.
Tastes great and less filling. 1280 Ralph.
right before the hour as we continue with my guest, Tommy Bland. Tommy, we're about ran out of time for this first hour. But what I want to do is I want to kind of set up what we're going to talk about during the second hour.
Yeah, I'd like to really get into the also discuss about the mutilations.
Okay.
Which I've spent about 23 years in also because, you know, at that point in time, people associating UFOs with the animal mutilations, and they still are.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to clear some of the muddy water on that issue.
Excellent, because that's kind of what I wanted to talk about during the second hour, too, is the animal mutilation, the cattle mutilation phenomena, as it's known. The thing I wanted to talk about when we get back from the news at the top has to do with the idea that a lot of what we know today, I think in a lot of ways people would be surprised to find that a lot of what we know about the UFO phenomena today is basically, I guess you could say, conditioned by folks who want people to believe what it is or what it isn't in a certain way. You know, in other words, they shape it to fit whatever the paradigm is that they want to achieve, which is something that I think is really, really occurring in a big way over at least the last 20 years.
Right.
You know.
I've seen that happening, you know, like I said, over the years and growing by leaps and bounds.
Yes.
Not only that, those people seem to be able to acquire a tremendous amount of funding. And get the majority of the airtime. When you have other individuals out here that's doing really good research that gets very little airtime and very little funding.
Absolutely. And this is the thing that is very worrisome or troublesome to me and to other people who are really seekers of truth who want to know really what this is. And, you know, the thing is that I think the question could be, is the UFO phenomena more of an intelligence problem or is it a scientific problem? And I think in some ways we know the answers to that because of what the data has revealed in the history of this stuff, at least in the early 50s, and you know, what was done with it then kind of gives you a big clue about it. But we'll pick that up coming back from Network News here in just a couple of minutes. And my guest is Tommy Bland, and we're talking about his 30 years in the research business, UFO investigation and that type of thing. And a very interesting guest. Our number here is 303-860-1280, 303-860-1280. If you have any stories you want to relate to us or any sighting reports or just questions about, you know, the UFO research that's been done over the years, give us a call. Again, that number is 303-860-1280. And we will continue coming back from the news. So stay tuned. There's a lot more to come on the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.